1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting from verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Thanks, Sam. Well, please leave your Bibles open there. My name is Simon, if we haven't met before. I'm the pastor for 6pm. Now, I just have a few things to make you aware of. I just want to get the clicker before I forget. One is that on Friday night about 2am, I woke up and spewed about 15 to 20 times between 2am and 9am on Saturday morning. So don't shake my hand or come anywhere near me. About a metre, I reckon, you'll be safe. I'm feeling about 85%, if you're wondering about that. I'm not trying to be rude by not shaking your hand tonight. It's for your good. It was bad. Like a lot. That's that announcement. Now, the next one is that we're having our camp out on the 10th to the 11th of September. Just lock that away. I'll stop talking about it in a moment, in the coming weeks. But I'll put a little thing in our Facebook group. We'd love you to come along. We're just going to camp at a person's property. I'll start in the afternoon. We'll sit around the fire. We'll have a barbecue. Someone might play some music. Emily, maybe not. And then we'll go to sleep. And then we'll wake up and eat some bacon and eggs. We open up the Bible briefly. And then we'll go home, we'll go to Hive Range tea rooms or something like that. But it'd be a good chance just to hang out, for the families to come, for the good chance for the for young Joshy and Rowan to go camping for their first time, and Spencer, of course, and any other babies that are here I've failed to mention. No, that's it. So that's happening, so that'll be good. The other thing is we have a tough question series coming up. So not this term, but next term we're doing some tough questions. There'll be seven talks in that. The first two are taken care of, so there's five to kind of go. Now, there is a fancy box up the back that you can kind of write on a piece of paper and slide it in. It's got wool? Yeah, wool. It's got wool attached to it, so it looks fancy. It's a box. But if you kind of feel like that's a little bit scary to do that, maybe a little bit confronting to do that, then on your service sheet, you'll notice on the outline side, there's a little QR code. You can kind of scan the QR code and you can submit your tough questions that way. It's a bit more anonymous that way. We won't be able to trace you through your handwriting or something like that. You can kind of put down whatever questions you want. But feel free to do that. We'd love you to do that, especially in the next few weeks. That'll give us a good chance to kind of get set for next term and to make make the most of that opportunity to do the tough questions series. That's it for the announcements. Leave your Bibles open and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, please help us as we dig into it now. Please help us to understand it. Father, please help us to delight in it. Please help us to be transformed by it. Father, please help us to see that the gospel really is wisdom. It's wisdom from before time began. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure if you've ever seen something that you thought was foolish, but then after a little while, you actually saw the beauty of it. Now, my wife's family farm is a little bit like that. Her family have made the decision to sell the farm because no one really wants to look after it anymore, and it seems like the fairest way is to kind of just to sell it and divide up the cash. And so I think, just sell it. Hurry up and do it. The sooner everyone can enjoy the bounty of the farm. But when I go to the farm, I'm actually reminded of its beauty and how it's not actually foolish to hold on to it, at least for a little while longer. So our kids love the farm. They love going on the tractor. They love going in the trailer. It's got its own creek, the farm, where we get to go and play. In fact, it's got several creeks you can go play in. It's got its own waterfall you can kind of walk to and kind of look at. There's lots of leeches and mosquitoes. In fact, there's not just one waterfall, there's actually a couple. And when you walk around in the farm, you can often find cool things. Last time we walked around, we found like this landslide that's like 100 metres long. It was great to walk up. I had 6 leeches on my foot at once. But it was fun and enjoyable. And from the top of the hills, there's a beautiful view of the surrounding countryside, and you can see the ocean. Sometimes I think, you know what, it's really foolish not just to sell the farm straight away, sell it so you can divide it up evenly amongst the siblings. But when I go to the farm, I'm reminded of its beauty. And so it's not that foolish to hold on to it at least for a little bit longer. Well, last week we saw that the Apostle Paul was communicating how foolish Christianity looks. I mean, we worship a crucified king. But he also indicated that Christianity is not foolish. It's through the cross that God saves his people. Well, tonight, as we continue our journey through 1 Corinthians, we're going to see that the message of the cross is actually a really beautiful message. It's actually a message of wisdom. We just need God's Spirit to be able to see that. Well, please have your Bibles open there at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Our first point tonight is that Christianity or the gospel is actually beautiful wisdom from God. Well, pick it up for me from verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Paul is saying our message of a crucified king, it might look weak and foolish, but to those who are mature, and we'll see in a moment that's those with God's Spirit living inside of them, it's actually a message of profound wisdom. See, Paul and the other apostles, they proclaim a message of wisdom that is different to what the world says is wisdom. It's different to what the Jews want. It's different to what the Gentiles want. And the rulers of this age, they will never see the gospel as wisdom. Now, I think Paul's generally talking about the earthly leaders here, but I also think he's talking about cosmic or evil powers. See, this world and the leaders of this world, they will never see the cross as a message of wisdom. It will always be foolishness to them. But you know what? In the end, those leaders and the wisdom of this age, it will come to nothing when Jesus returns to judge this world. Well, Paul goes on to explain the wisdom of the gospel some more from verse 7. Have a look with me there. Now, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Paul says he declares God's wisdom. Well, what is God's wisdom? Well, it's a mystery. It's a mystery that has been hidden since before time began. It's a mystery that's destined for our glory. Paul is saying that he and the other apostles and the teachers are revealing something that has been hidden since before time began. See, God always had a plan to rescue us and bring us back into relationship with Him through the humble and humiliating, through the shameful death of His Son Jesus on a cross. And that is massive. See, back in Corinth in the first century AD, the further you could trace your wisdom back in history, the more it was respected. So people didn't really go for new ideas or novel ideas. The older you could trace your idea back, the better it was, the more respected it was. Well, here, Paul ties his idea back to before time began, before God made our world. See, Paul is revealing the wonderful news that through God's one and only Son, through His humble and humiliating and shameful death, we can be restored to our Creator, restored to God. And he says in verse 8 that the rulers of this age, the general rulers, the cosmic rulers, they didn't understand this timeless wisdom. They didn't understand that God would rescue His people through the crucifixion of His own Son. Because if they had known that, they wouldn't have crucified God's Son. They wouldn't have played such a crucial role in God's saving plan. Well, Paul goes on to say in verses 9 and 10 that he only knows all of this stuff because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to him. Well, have a look at me at verses 9 and 10. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Now, in these verses, Paul is loosely quoting from Isaiah 64, verse 4. He's saying, you know what? We had no idea of what God had been preparing for us since before the creation of the world. But the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, He revealed it to Paul and to the apostles, that through God's one and only Son, God would rescue us. And we could be with Him in perfection forever. We could be with Him in glory forever and ever. Paul is saying that the message that he and the other apostles proclaim, it's actually a beautiful message. It's not foolish in any way, shape or form. It's actually a message from before time began. Now, I'm not sure if you've heard about the James Webb Telescope. You might have seen it on Facebook or on the news. It's an amazing telescope that NASA and others have put up into space. And with this new technology, with this new telescope, scientists can see further and clearer into space than ever before. We can see galaxies that scientists say these galaxies are from very close to the beginning of the universe. This is pretty amazing, and these are pretty amazing images. This is one of the images from the James Webb Telescope. Friends, this telescope, it is a massive deal. It's taking us back in time, back to near the beginning. But you know what? Before the beginning, before God kicked all of this off, God had a plan to rescue us. To rescue His people through this terrible and shameful and humble thing through His Son dying on the cross in our place. This is wisdom and this is beauty. Friends, humans can do some amazing things, like make this new, massive, amazing telescope. We can study the Bible and human bodies in amazing ways. Humans can do lots of amazing things. But don't forget how amazing God is. Planning before time began to rescue us through His Son. Friends, the gospel is beautiful wisdom from God. It's not foolishness. It's wisdom. But Paul goes on to say that you need God's Spirit to see that the gospel is actually wisdom. And that brings us to our second point tonight, that only the Spirit can help us to see the beauty of the cross. Well, pick up with me from verse 11. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Paul is saying no one knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit. Now, I think he's saying no one knows a person's thoughts except maybe their inner being, that their inner being might reveal it to you. Well, just like that, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And from verse 12, Paul's saying that the Spirit of God is what has told Paul and the apostles this great mystery. And so when they speak, they don't speak with human wisdom. They didn't make up this gospel message. They're speaking with words taught by the Spirit. Paul is saying, we didn't figure this out on our own. God, the Holy Spirit, actually revealed it to us. And he goes on to say that you actually won't understand this message. You won't understand this wisdom unless God the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Well, pick up with me from verse 14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul is pretty clear in verse 14, the person without the Spirit cannot accept the things from the Spirit. The Spirit has revealed the message of the gospel to the apostles, and you can only receive that message if you have the Spirit living inside of you. Otherwise, you'll see the gospel as foolish. You won't understand it. But if you have the Spirit, you will see the beauty of the cross. And verse 15 says you'll make judgments about all kinds of things. Now, I don't think it's saying that the person with the Spirit will be judging everyone. It's not saying that. It's more saying that the person with the Spirit will make judgments about all things, about how to live for Jesus and what that looks like. And they won't be subject to what humans without the Spirit think about trusting in a crucified king and following him. Because you know what? If you don't have the Spirit of God, you will never see the beauty of the cross. Well, Paul finishes this section by reminding us that if we have the Spirit, we actually know what God is like. Again, Paul is quoting from Isaiah. This time it's chapter 40. And he says, who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? And the implied answer is no one. No one can know the mind of the Lord. But Paul finishes by saying, but we have the mind of Christ. If you have the Spirit, you can understand what the Spirit has revealed through the apostles. You can understand that God had a plan from before the creation of the world to rescue us in his Son. Christians can know what God is like because we have the Spirit. Well, I like to go mountain biking a lot with this guy. His name is Bobby. I call him Bobby Boucher, which is out of The Water Boy, if you've ever seen that. It's an Adam Sandler film from probably before your time, but you should watch it if you haven't seen it. It's good. Anyway, we did the Paluma Push together recently, and often when I go riding with this guy called Bobby, his daughter Hannah comes with us. Hannah normally attends this service. Anyway, listening to Hannah talk, it's kind of like talking to her dad, Bobby. Now, recently, my family went over there for dinner after the Paluma Push, and Hannah was there, and she was eating this kind of special combination noodle mix and had prawns and other things in it. And once she'd eaten the prawns and the meat, she said, I'm not eating any more of this rubbish. It's just noodles. And that is something that her dad would say. If you spend time with Hannah, You'll get a good indication of what her father Bobby is like. They say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Well, friends, in a very similar yet different way, we can know what God is like through the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit helps us to know God. The Spirit helps us to understand God's amazing rescue of us in Jesus. Because, friends, without the Spirit, we cannot know God. Now, one of my pet hates, and I'm sorry if this kind of feels like I'm kind of ranting on about a pet hate, but one of my pet hates is when people say that the Spirit isn't really around Presbyterian churches or Willows Presbyterian Church, for instance. People do say that. I'm not making that up. But if people are understanding the gospel and living that out in any way, shape or form, well, then the Spirit is here and is truly at work, because you absolutely cannot work any of that out on your own. If you understand the gospel and believe in Jesus, the Spirit is in you working away. Don't believe the lie that the Spirit is not here. Well, friends, we've seen the message, that the message of the gospel, it looks foolish, but it's actually not. It's actually wisdom from God, but we actually need the Spirit to be able to see that. I want to start wrapping up this talk by talking about a theological issue. Tonight we've seen that the gospel really is wisdom, but you need the Spirit in order to see that, in order to believe in the gospel. So does that mean that God only wants some people to be saved? Well, let me read to you from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says this: "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." In this section, the Apostle Peter is saying the only reason why Jesus hasn't come back to judge the world is because God is being patient. He wants more people to believe in his Son and to not perish, but to come back to him in repentance. God wants people to come back into relationship with him. But it is also true that God only gives his Spirit to some. This is complex and it's hard to get your head around, and there is a tension there. But if there's someone in your life that you would love to see believe in Jesus, and if you're a Christian, I hope that's true of your life, well, God wants that too. So pray to your Father in heaven. Pray that he would save your friends, your colleague, your spouse, your parents, your children, your grandparents, your aunties and uncles. Pray to your Father in heaven, because he doesn't want anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. Pray for them. Well, friends, if you are a Christian, that is a great miracle. You may not be speaking in tongues, you may not be doing amazing magic tricks or anything like that, but if you understand the gospel, if you get what God has done for you in Jesus, well, then you have the Spirit. The Spirit of God is at work within you. So stop wondering whether or not you're a believer. If you do trust in Jesus, God's Spirit is at work within you. And that is amazing. That is super encouraging. Of course, you'll still struggle with sin. We all do. Galatians chapter 5 says there's actually a struggle between the Spirit and the flesh. That'll be the case until you die. But if you believe in Jesus, the Spirit is in you, and that is amazing. That is a wonderful thing. So can I encourage you, if that's you, to walk in step with the Spirit? Can I encourage you to keep letting the Spirit work in your life? See, the Spirit and the Bible actually go together. And so a great way for us to allow the Spirit to keep working in us is to make sure that we read the Word. Now, obviously, if we read the Word, the Bible, that the Spirit is working in us, prompting us to do that. But if we read the Bible, it keeps us facing in to the convicting and revealing work of God's Holy Spirit. It's kind of like a windmill. I don't know if this analogy will work for you. I might have told some of you before. But basically, a windmill, there's one up there if you haven't seen it before, and when the wind blows, the wind hits the big tail thing at the back and pushes it around, and so the fan at the front faces into the wind and spins around and sucks up the water out of the ground and goes into troughs to feed, you know, like cows and sheep and all that sort of stuff. That's kind of basically how a windmill works. Well, when we read the Bible points us in the direction of the wind of the Spirit. And the Spirit works in us and helps us to be transformed to be like Jesus. Friends, reading the Bible is such a foundational part of being a Christian. Yet all of us struggle with it from time to time, if we're honest. Can I encourage you after the service tonight to talk to one another? To share how you're going with reading the Bible. Be honest. Maybe you haven't read it all this week. Maybe you haven't read it for a month or a year. Be honest about that. Can I encourage you to share what you find helpful when you read the Bible? What actually works for you? Doing some sort of devotion actually helps me, like one that's kind of structured and has the 24th of July and you read a little section about that. I find that really helpful. Friends, the Spirit of God is so crucial in helping us to understand the gospel and continuing to live God's way. And reading the Bible helps us to stay connected with the revealing and convicting work of the Spirit. Friends, the gospel is beautiful wisdom from God, but we need the Spirit to see that. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us in it. Father, please help us to see that the gospel is not foolish. Please help us to see that the gospel is a beautiful message from you. It's beautiful wisdom from before time began. Father, please, by your Spirit, help us to see that. And Father, when we see that, help us to know that your Spirit is working in us. Father, for those of us amongst us tonight who may not believe in your Son, Father, please work in them. Please work in them by your Spirit so that they might trust in your Son, the crucified King who died but who also rose again and who will one day return and take us to be with him in perfection forever. We pray all these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.